In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This evening we are looking at Lesson 16, The Devils and Temptation. At the beginning of the lesson, there's an image of Saint Michael and the good angels casting the devil and all the bad angels into hell. We know it's Saint Michael by the inscription that's on his shield. Quis ut Deus, who is like God, and that basically is the name of Saint Michael, or that's what Michael has been translated as. And it is said that because the devil compared himself to God, Saint Michael says, who is like to God, or that no one is like to God. The first question, what happened to the angels who did not remain faithful to God? The angels who did not remain faithful to God were cast into hell, and these are called bad angels or devils. Quote, depart from me, accursed ones, into the everlasting fire which was prepared for the devil and his angels. From St. Matthew 25:41. First paragraph, we also call them demons or fallen angels, led by the most excellent of the angels created by God, Lucifer, or Satan. The bad angels refused to obey God when he tested them. God did not give them a chance to repent, but cast them at once into hell. Another quote, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will be like the Most High. From Isaiah 14:12-14. Jesus said, I was watching Satan fall as lightning from heaven. St. Luke 10:18. Okay. Second paragraph. God did not create devils, but glorious angels. The rebel angels turned themselves into devils by their sin. Well, I mentioned St. Michael's name means who is like unto God, and Lucifer means light bearer. Right, so Lucifer was the highest of the angels, the light bearer, and he was, I guess, ensnared, entrapped by his own vanity and the excellence of his nature that God had given him, and therefore he compared himself to God. All right. By one grave sin against God, these angels of light became vile demons and were condemned to hell for all eternity. We should draw a lesson from this and determine never to sin. What is the chief way in which the bad angels try to harm us? The chief way in which the bad angels try to harm us is by tempting us to sin. First paragraph, the bad angels tempt man and try to draw him away from God. Often the devil appears as an angel of light, and we are tempted by evil, which appears good. Under this guise, the devil is most dangerous. Be sober and watchful, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. In 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verses 8-9. The second paragraph, without God's permission, the devil can do us no harm. God sometimes permits the devil to tempt just men, to cleanse them from imperfections. Our Lord himself was tempted by the devil. God permitted Job to be harmed bodily by the devil. Saint Anthony, Saint Teresa, and many other saints suffered from the temptations of the evil one. But these temptations only drive the just to greater love of God. The life of man is a warfare. From Job 7-1. And paragraph 3. Sometimes devils are permitted to enter the body of a man, exercising power over his faculties. This is called diabolic possession. At other times, devils torment one from without, and this state is called diabolic obsession. When God permits diabolic obsession or possession, it is to show in some way His glory, or to punish sin, convert sinners, or provide some means for the practice of virtue. Fourth paragraph. In cases of diabolic possession or obsession, the aid of the Church should be sought, for the Church received from Christ the power of exorcism. This is the act of driving out or warding off evil spirits. It is only with the permission of his bishop that a priest is permitted to exorcise evil spirits. Okay, paragraph 5. The Church forbids Catholics to have anything to do with spiritism. This is calling up the spirits of the dead. Some manifestations are spirit rapping, table lifting, slate writing, apparitions, communications through mediums in a state of trance. Most of the spiritist seances are fraudulent, but sometimes the devil manifests himself. God can permit the souls of the dead to return to earth, but there is no indication that he permits himself to obey mediums. The devil may sometimes impersonate the spirits of the dead. Satan is old and skillful in deceit and can assume the appearance of an angel of light. Okay, so with those seances, I can't remember who the exorcist was that I read years ago, but he suggested that in those seances, when they try to communicate with the deceased, it is actually the devil who has actually known the deceased person when they were alive and can imitate their voice, know everything that they've done in their lives, and so the devils can impersonate this person from the dead and present themselves, obviously, to deceive those engaging in the seance and to do whatever he can to destroy their souls. But of course, whatever evil the devils try to do, God is always able to draw some good out of it, some greater good out of it. Right, before we go on to the next question, we have a couple questions. For those in purgatory, do they always suffer in the present until release, or do they suffer a specific time according to our earth time? Not quite sure what the question is there. They always suffer in the present until release, or do they suffer a specific time according to our earth time? It is definitely a specific time. You know, they will be released from it eventually, and time does exist in purgatory, because purgatory is not part of eternity. So, perhaps I'm just answering around the question. I don't really know that I understand the question completely, but earth time and purgatory time, I would assume, are basically the same, one and the same, because it's part of this creation, and time will cease when this creation is renewed, I guess, if you will, and then there will be this eternal present. And at that time, there will no longer be a purgatory. Purgatory will not exist after Christ returns and the world is renewed. And when time ceases forever, then we will be in eternal present at that time. Okay. I hope that answered the question. All right. Do all temptations come from the bad angels? Some temptations come from bad angels, but other temptations come from ourselves and from the persons and things about us. First paragraph, this is what we mean when we say that temptation comes to us from the flesh, the world, and the devil. The evil inclinations of our weak and corrupted nature tempt us to sin. The world, with its sinful wants and vanities, tempts us to sin. The devil goes about continually tempting us, making use of both our nature and the world for his evil purposes. Second paragraph. In itself, temptation is not a sin. It becomes sinful only when A. we bring it upon ourselves by carelessness or overconfidence, or B. take pleasure in, or yield to it. The greatest saints have often been most strongly tempted. Our Lord even permitted himself to be tempted. Thus we see that temptation is not a sin, because we are not responsible for it. The third paragraph. God permits us to be tempted in order to try us, to let us win an eternal reward. God subjected the angels to a test. Those who passed it are now enjoying Him in heaven, their reward. Because thou wast acceptable to God, it was necessary that temptation should prove thee. From Tobias 12:13. God permitted the devil to tempt our first parents. Temptation served to keep us humble. God permits all mankind to have temptations, but never temptation beyond their strength to resist. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength. From Corinthians 10:13. The fourth paragraph, the stronger the temptation, the greater the graces God gives for its conquest. The conquest by the saints of wicked temptations have made them greater saints. Christ himself was tempted by the devil to gluttony, to avarice, and to pride. He wanted to show us that by resisting we may rise to greater love of God. Good men who are worried because so many temptations assail them should remember that ants quickly gather over a jar of honey. The devil strives to catch the good because he is already sure of the wicked. Okay, so I'm not sure that the devil tempting our Lord to change stone into bread after he had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights was actually gluttony, but I guess that is the sin that he is combating there. Our Lord was hungry. There would not have been anything wrong with him eating. And the commentators that I have read seem to suggest, or at least from my memory, they seem to suggest that our Lord did not listen to the devils because the suggestion was coming from the devil. It didn't matter what the devil said or what the devil suggested, no matter how good it may appear, simply because the devil suggested it, Christ rejected it. I don't think that he was actually tempted to gluttony, I guess, but I can always be corrected on that, too. All right, we'll continue. There was something else I wanted to say there. Considering the assaults of the devils, the number of attacks and temptations that we endure, there is a story, I can't remember which saint had the vision, but he once saw that over the city, an entire city, there was one devil watching the entire city. But as you got out to the outskirts of the city, there was a convent of religious, and the devils were climbing all over the walls. It was like an infestation of demons that he saw over the convent. And he could not understand because those in the city were so full of sin that there was only one devil there. But in the convent where they are fighting temptation and striving for virtue, striving to be good, that there should be so many devils there. And of course the vision that this saint had seen was explained very simply, that it only took one devil to keep all those souls in the city on the path to hell, on the path of vice. But in the convent, where the resistance to the devil was stronger, the devil brings in more devils. And they keep increasing. It is a battle that is going on there. Whereas in the city, there is no battle. There is no resistance. It doesn't take much to keep those within the city on the path to hell. So if we suffer violent temptations or a lot of temptations, it is not necessarily because we are evil. It could be that the devil is losing his grip upon us, and he's redoubling his efforts to bring us down. Okay, the next question, can we always resist temptations? We can always resist temptations because no temptation can force us into sin, and God will always help us if we ask Him. The length of time during which a temptation persists does not make it sinful. If we continue resisting it, a temptation may attack us all our lives, but as long as we fight it or pay no attention to it, as long as we do not yield, we commit no sin. We have not been conquered, and God will reward us for the good fight. First paragraph, no temptation can do us harm if we obey God's laws and keep away from sin. If we resist temptation, will flee from us. If we resist temptation, will flee from us. Seems to contradict what we just read above, that the temptations can continue in spite of our resisting for very long periods of time. But it will never be longer or more than we can bear, because within each temptation, God is going to give us the grace to overcome it. Our lot for all eternity depends entirely on ourselves. God votes for heaven, the devil votes for hell. The deciding vote is ours. Shall we vote for heaven or for hell? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. St. James 4:7. Right, the second paragraph. When assailed by temptation, one must at once resist. It is easier to conquer temptation at the beginning than later on, just as a fire is easier to put out at the onset or outset. Since nothing can be done without divine grace, one must pray. One must imitate the apostles who had resource to Jesus when a storm arose. Let him say at once, Lord, make haste to help me. Third paragraph. Some remedies against temptation are A. Watchfulness and prayer. Quote, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. St. Matthew 26:41. Avoid idleness, keeping always occupied, either by work or by wholesome recreation. If evil thoughts enter the mind, think of other things, in this way ignoring the temptation. B. Frequent confession and communion. And C. Devotion to the Blessed Virgin and the guardian angels. All right. Do we have any questions or comments? I'm not quite sure what to say here without some help, some kind of guidance. I don't know if I answered Joyce's question there. I think no other response. So I really don't have anything that I can think of to add to this. Resist temptation. The temptations are always going to be there. It is not a sign that we have done anything wrong. On the contrary, if we feel the assaults of temptation, it's probably because we're doing something right. As I pointed out in many sermons, our Lord said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and come follow me. And if you wake up one morning and find you don't have a cross to carry, it is time to worry. It's time to be concerned, because we will not be able to follow our Lord's injunction if we don't have a cross, a daily cross. So that cross, I think, often is going to be in the form of temptations. And so we should not, I guess, disturb ourselves because we are tempted or we suffer temptations, but we should take some consolation that the temptation is not a sign that we've done anything wrong, but perhaps it is more a sign that we are on the right path, that we're doing something positive. The devil's not going to tempt those whom he already has. He's not going to rock the boat. If we're already in the devil's pocket, he's not going to disturb us. On the contrary, he's going to try and make our life as peaceful and calm as possible, to lull us asleep in our sins, so that we will enter into the kingdom of hell. But if we are suffering trials and tribulations, temptations, that is generally a good sign, all other things being equal. I came across a saying, I think it was on social media several years ago. Basically it said, if everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong lane. So if everything is going well, then you better worry. If everything seems to be an uphill battle, that's just the way God has intended it to be. God chastises those whom he loves. He allows us to suffer trial and tribulation to prove our love for him. And So we should not take it amiss, but as you heard me say so many times with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have no other questions. We'll end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord, my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.